The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website freshfm.net for our contact details.
Good morning, good morning. That was cut off just a little bit. Yes, we are in Motueka for anyone who is wondering what happened there. Good morning, I am Stu Darling. Welcome to the Resilient Show on this wonderful day. I was up early this morning. I was down the beach before sunrise. What an absolutely amazing sky. Bright orange, the most orange of oranges that you can imagine. And then as I was making my way back, the sun popped over the hills of the Marlborough Sounds, and it was the beginning of an amazing day. What a way to start a resilient day with a view like that and a little bit of exercise. And look, we've all got to get out there. It's been quite a week. People keep dying. Raymond Briggs of The Snowman, gone. Judith Durham, gone. Of The Seekers, and Olivia Newton-John, that icon of pre-teenage boys. Yes, I was one of them. So I thought to start today's show, let's get slowed down. Let's not get physical. Let's go to, he said, trying to sort of, do you know what happened? I was busy doing Wordle just before this show started, and maybe I was a little bit ill-prepared. There we are. That's the music all set up for the show. I won't make another mistake. Ha! Well, those of you who listen frequently will know that's probably unlikely to happen. But here it is. Here is Xanadu. Well, clearly that's not Xanadu. I'm not quite sure what's going on with the music at the moment, but we are going to make this work. That was actually the beginning of Photographs Can Lie by Elvis Costello. Right, here we go. Let's try again. And when we come back, normal service will have resumed.
Open your eyes and see
There we go. That was Xanadu by Olivia Newton-John, but not only Olivia Newton-John. That was also by the Electric Light Orchestra. And I'm quite sure when I said that, you suddenly went, oh, yeah, that's what I did. When I was planning the show, I suddenly went, I listened to it and went, oh, yeah, that now makes sense. So Olivia Newton-John, who shuffled off her mortal coil this week. Amazing voice, amazing actress, and an amazing supporter of cancer research and that whole piece of supporting other people when they are suffering. Beautiful human being. Today's show is entitled Where is Home? And actually, it came from all of the news of everyone dying this week. Not everyone, but sometimes when we hear of deaths on the media, or if it's closer to home than that, then sometimes we begin to question where home is. We begin to wonder where we belong. So today's show is dedicated to everyone who is wondering where they actually belong. That's what we're going to talk about today. And great news, we have got Greg Simnor on the show this week. Greg is coming on to talk about the church. Now, Greg is the senior pastor of The Rock in Wellington, and he and I often have quite in-depth conversations. You remember the last time he was on the show, we spoke about the huge experiment that The Rock is running about getting away from those huge big gatherings that people feel they can go to every week, where they feel they belong, getting away from that into a more challenging environment of smaller groups that then come together slightly less frequently. So a new place to call home. That's what this show is all about today. So what do you call home? Where is home to you? Is it a place? Is it that place, that childhood home that you were always brought up in? It's been a really fascinating week this week in the Darling household. Having had a full house 2 weekends ago with Rachel, her fiancé, and our son Andrew, for them to then head off and Andrew stay, and we had a great week together. We went skiing, and there were memories in that house for the week of what a busy house full of people was like. They went on their way, and the house got a little bit quieter. The energy shifted in the house. The dog started getting a hell of a lot more attention. And we realised that our home is different, dependent on who is there. We've been really fortunate that throughout our lives and throughout our married lives, we have moved every 2 or 3 years. And that has meant that home for us has never really been the bricks and mortar. Home for us has always been the four people that make up our family. It doesn't matter where we are. There's a verse in the Bible that talks, I think it's Moses, that talks about, he says, pick up your tent. What he's actually saying there is it's about the people around about you. It's not about your belongings. It's not about the bricks and mortar. And that is the life that we have been fortunate enough to live. It means that we took years to buy some land, build a house, and 3 years later decided, actually, do you know what? It's time to go on for more adventures. So what do you call, where is home for you? If it's not a place, is it maybe family? Is it maybe where you work? Is it the friends you have around about you? Wherever it is, you're going to find it. This is a cheesy connection. I'll give you that right now. You're going to find it by walking down many, many country roads. Are you ready to party?
she calls me. Radio reminds me of my home far away. And driving down the road, I get the feeling that I should have been home yesterday. Yesterday.
Take Me Home, Country Roads. That was the Hermes House Band, a slightly more upbeat version. Reminds me of skiing in the Alps many, many years ago when we get back for après-ski, for little drinky pools at the end of the day. That's the sort of music that was playing in the European Alps in the ski chalets. So, if it's not the bricks and mortar that we call home, where is it? Because there's a real challenge here. If we decide to move away from that 21st century concept that it's all about our belongings, because we can lose our belongings, we can lose our homes, we can lose our cars. So where do we call home? Is it the people around about us? As I mentioned before the last track, the energy in our house changed when the kids went off in their direction, you know, when they left us last week. The energy in our house changed. It was left to me, the Lady Elizabeth, and Trevor the dog. It's actually called River the dog, but there was a mix-up. River the dog, the energy shifted. So home then became something different. Next weekend, the Lady Elizabeth heads off to the UK, to the United Kingdom, for a few weeks to visit her family. Then, I don't know quite what's going to happen, then it's me and River the dog. Over 2 weeks of just me, who let me out by myself? The energy's going to shift again. So where is home? What do you call home? We need to have human beings, other human beings around about us, and our pets, of course. We are herd animals. To exist by ourselves for extended period of time is not healthy. We need people, the right people. Let's be clear on that. We need to have the right people around about us, the people who love and respect us, the people who are there for us rather than expecting us to be there for them. Just careful, listen to what I said. Yeah, they are there for us and we are there for them. But we've got to be careful that we are not being used, because then we feel that we are being forced to comply, forced to fit in. We've got to find where we belong. Belonging is really where our home truly is. So where is yours? We've travelled all over the world, and everywhere we have lived, it has always been home. Do you have a group of friends that you can say, yeah, do you know what? When I meet them, then I really feel at home. I can probably count on one hand the number of great friends that I have. I have lots of acquaintances. I know many people. But great, great friends, I have very few. And I'm very, very cool with that. That's okay. I am very comfortable in my skin. Some people choose to have lots of friends around about them. And that's cool as well. There's nothing wrong with any of that. I know that when we decided to move house, the Lady Elizabeth misses her friends from where we used to live. And I know that they still chat almost daily. That is a part of being at home. Engaging, whether it's on social media or whether you pick up that antiquated device called a telephone, or you are on Zoom or some other app that allows you to see one another. All of that is creating a home for you at a certain point when you have certain needs or you choose to reach out. There are so many different places that we can call home, and we must, because as I say, as human beings, as mammals, we are herd animals. We need to have those stories around about us. We need to have those relationships. It's how it all started. If you choose to read the first few books of the Bible or the Quran, where we talk about the beginnings of humanity, it started as a couple. That couple had children. Their children had children. And though that couple, or that individual, and think about your own life, this is the way maturing happens. First of all, you're with your family. And then it's time for you to move beyond that family out into the world. And you meet someone. And if that's the right person, then you will have your family. And those families grow into tribes. And then we meet other tribes who are like us, and we think, this is cool, let's band together and we can hang, and that'll be awesome, because we have the same values. And then there are other tribes that we go, oh, not sure of them, their values are different to ours, what's going on here? And we create divisions. And over time, and pick up an atlas, look at a globe of the world, over time we begin to draw lines on the map and we say, this is ours, this is yours, this is our home, that's your home, don't cross the border. The tribes of tribes become nations. And we call our home bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, here's the challenge for you all, for all of us, for humanity. We all live on the pale blue dot, as Carl Sagan once called it. That pale blue dot is our home. And when you look at that pale blue dot from the stillness of space, there are no boundaries. There are no borders. There is humanity and its home. That's what we must remember. That we all live and we must look after this planet. It takes time, it takes effort, but that is where home actually is. Every Time You Go Away by Paul Young. I never know when to actually butt in. I remember in the olden days, like when I'm talking about the olden days of when cassettes existed, and yet we used to record the tunes off the radio, and you'd be hoping beyond hope that the DJ didn't start talking over the end of the track. So you got the whole thing, you got all of the music. But then I'm now on the other side of it going, well, yeah, but this just, oh, the end of this just goes on and on and on forever. And you guys going, oh, this is going on and on. Especially now that we don't actually record using cassettes. So hopefully when I play the tracks down and then begin to talk, you've got the gist of it. And certainly with Paul Young and Every Time You Go Away, that was nearly 5.5 minutes of music that was playing there. What a great track. Every Time You Go Away, because the title of the Resilient Show this week is Where Is Home? If you're listening to the Resilient Show, you may be listening on www.freshfm.net. That means that you can be listening anywhere on or off planet Earth. You might be one of those astronauts or cosmonauts on the International Space Station looking down at that pale blue dot, unable to see those boundaries. Or you might be on planet Earth. You might be listening in from Nelson CBD on 107.2 FM or Nelson Tasman 104.8 FM. You might be over the hill in the Golden Bay area and listening on 95 FM. Or if you are in the beautiful Blenheim, 88.9 FM. Welcome to the Resilient Show, where we're talking about where is home. We always have to leave, but then we come back again. And wherever we are in the world, we will have that place called home. That place that brings us certainty. That's what it does. I've often said, and I talk about it in my book, Lead Through Life, that for many years, my certainty was the Lady Elizabeth. It was a person, not that building. Because whenever I was sent away to do stuff, the Lady Elizabeth stayed at home. The Lady Elizabeth stayed at home and looked after the dog and the children and made sure that they had certainty, even though one of their parents wasn't about at the time. She created that certainty for them at home, but also created a certainty for me wherever I was in the world. And that was important because it meant that I could do all of the challenging things, prosecute all of the challenging missions that I was sent out to do, knowing that there was certainty somewhere. Every week when I was away, every week, I'm just remembering this now, every Sunday, no matter what, on a Sunday, I would have something different for breakfast. I would have a croissant and strawberry jam, if I could, and a cup of coffee. And I would take a little bit longer over my breakfast every Sunday, because that gave me certainty that time was moving along. That was another week down. That was another week completed. That was another week of surviving wherever I was, whenever I got the opportunity to get into the cookhouse for food. So I had that certainty as my week rolled over. We can find something similar to home anywhere we look. My daughter and I have a song, I've played it on the show before, Somewhere Out There, which is a song about a little mouse that goes to the United States in the 1920s. Great, great film. It became important to us, the relationship that I had with Rachel, when she began to understand where Daddy was going, and not knowing what I was doing overseas, but knowing I was going away to a dangerous place for a period of time. And in the weeks leading up to me leaving, or the days leading up to me leaving, we would go outside in the evenings and look up at the moon. And we had a conversation about the moon being the same moon, wherever we looked at it from. Whether I was in the desert and she was wherever we were living at the time, the moon was always there. It was the same moon that we would look at. When the Lady Elizabeth was pregnant with Rachel, I was serving in Bosnia, and the Hale-Bopp comet was visible from Earth. The Lady Elizabeth and I could look out at night and both see Hale-Bopp and realised that no matter where both of us were, our home was in one another's hearts. Simple as that, really.
A thousand years
So nearly let that one go. Almost. That was Michael Bolton and Go the Distance. Sometimes we just need somewhere to call home that then allows us to go the distance. And that was the certainty that I had in the Lady Elizabeth when I found myself in some of the, yeah, maybe slightly dodgier parts of the world, slightly dustier parts of the world in the past. Well, it is just after 10 of the clock, 1000 hours for military, 10 o'clock for civilians. And I am so honoured and blessed and excited to invite Greg Simner back on the show again. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Stu. Thanks for having me.
It's been a little while since you were last on the show. I'm actually really excited to see where you are, because you're not at home at the moment, are you?
No, we're not in our physical home. We're house sitting for some friends in Pahatanui, mm-hmm. Which is near our place, but it's a massive property that we have been blessed to be staying here.
And I've just, because I've got Greg on Zoom at the moment, I can see the property. There's a huge gym in there, isn't there?
There is.
So what's your excuse?
I guess I don't have one now, but you're more than welcome to come and join me with a gym worker, Stu, if you like.
Ah, I've already been out for a run this morning. I'm good today. I'm up there. So, look, I'm really, really fascinated to hear what's going on at The Rock, but I choose to share something with you that I remembered from a long, long time ago. In fact, the beginning of my military career, that I was talking to someone from the Soviet Union, a communist, nay less, a communist, and their view was that, and they actually said that, look, you've got churches in every village across Great Britain. If we had a communist party office, we'd run this place. So let's talk about what a church actually is, because that doesn't really work in the UK, and I'm sure it doesn't work across the globe. What is a church, really?
The church, in simple terms, are God's people. In other words, you can call us the ecclesia. It's the gathering of the saints. And so often we think the church is a building. You know, we say we go to church, we get married in the church, and the church gather in buildings, but the church is not a building. The church are the people of God. And so that speaks to me about knowing your identity, because if you think church is a building and you go to it, then that has a whole different paradigm to you being the very thing that God is looking for and the people of God that he is hoping walk in the manner in which he walks. So very easy to go along to a building, call it the church, and then live in accordance to that, as opposed to becoming the very people of God who gather to worship.
So let's back up just a little bit, probably to maybe a couple of weeks before you were born, and certainly years before I was born. Back in the 12th, 13th century, right across Europe, and for those who haven't maybe visited Europe, certainly France and the UK, back then there was that huge big great building campaign of Gothic cathedrals to invite people, the peasants, to God. Was that a waste of money, or what was going on back then?
You'd have to ask those guys if it was a waste of money. I'm not sure. I think a whole lot of money is wasted today in buildings. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of money spent in big buildings to attract people to a building, as opposed to money maybe being invested into seeing the church become all she can be and help other people with that finance. You know, I think if you look at what's happening around the world, there's obviously a very heavy imbalance between what we could be doing and what we are doing. And I think, scripture is very clear that man is a lover of money, and ultimately man will choose to do what he does with his own money. So, yeah, I think when Jesus spoke, he said, these temples are all coming down. And so when he even turned up, the religious people were sort of in awe of their buildings that had been built. And mm-hmm. certainly Solomon built a temple and God's presence rested in that. But the reality is now we are the modern day temple. We are the modern day house that God resides in. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of money spent on buildings that could be and should be being spent on seeing humanity served, loved, and influenced with the power of money to be able to create resource to see people live and grow.
Is that what Moses meant when he spoke about picking up your tent?
I just think there's something in us naturally that wants to build a tent, that wants to, build a building, wants to have a place to reside in because it creates comfort mm-hmm. instead of being on this constant journey of transformation and sojourning through. And I think, we tend to, as I said, we tend to want to have a place of residence as opposed to being that very place of residence that God lives within. So, yeah, two different forms.
So before we talk about the rock and the pods that we spoke about last time you were on the show, I follow a chap called Joel Osteen on social media. Now, Joel he's a pastor in the US, and I'm not quite sure if it's Staples Center, but his church it's probably bigger than the Sky Stadium in Wellington, and it's full every week. Talk to me. Please explain. What's going on there?
I think the challenge is that for so long the model has been come to a building. And so everything is centered around a building and 2 hours in a building. And I'm not sure that was the model of Christ. It's certainly not, Jesus never had a building. He never gathered a crowd in a building. He, in fact, did, a lot of his things outside of a building. Mm-hmm. Greg, are you saying that having a building is wrong? No. are you saying that gathering together with other believers is wrong? No. But the heart and the mindset that comes along to a building is the issue, because it's never the external, it's always the internal. So if going to a building becomes a form of godliness rather than living in godliness, then there's an issue. If you need and go along to that building to get something purely just for yourself, then there's an issue. And I think this is part of the pattern that isn't just a year old, it's years old, of man building his own temple, drawing man to man, and then we have a great time, but how much transformation is taking place? There's just multiple tensions with the whole thing. So in and itself, it's not wrong, but the heart and the mindset that turns up, it could become the problem.
So what I'm hearing is that our heart position is what's important.
Absolutely. It's always been about the heart for Jesus. It always starts in the heart. He asks us to lose our life to gain a life. And we read scripturally through the words of Christ. He said, love me with all your heart. Mm-hmm. And so that's very hard to do if you've given your heart away. If your heart has been divided into 8 pieces, you give it to your wife, you give it to your kids, you give it to your friends, you give it to your sport, you give it to other things, then how can one love God with all his heart if his heart is in pieces? It's called a broken heart. And, I think we have to realize when Jesus said, I build my church, what was he meaning by that? Because he certainly wasn't meaning go build a whole lot of physical buildings and put a whole lot of people in them. He was meaning I've come to heal the broken heart to release people from themselves and to see people flourish in the life I come to give them.
So can the building be a place to hide?
100% it can.
Personal experience, I was invited to go to groups at The Rock, the men's group, and it was confronting. I don't know if you remember, I used to make every excuse possible not to attend. I probably tried to have my car stolen or something just not to attend. Because small groups are far more confronting. But if we read the book if we read the Gospels, but if we go on and read the book of Acts, that's exactly what it was all about at the beginning, was it not?
Yes, correct. I mean, I think, the way of Christ, when you look at the way of Christ, he walked with 12 men for 3.5 years. He was intimately in their lives. He not only taught them spiritually, but he walked through with them physically. They were walking together, sleeping together, eating together. And, you go, why was that the way he chose? He could have chosen a multitude of ways in which to administer his kingdom and his way, and he chose this very intimate path of fellowship, relationship with men, to help them understand who he was, the Father's purposes, and who they were to become. And it's in that intimate setting that you can get real, mm-hmm. you can get transparent, you can be vulnerable, you can be honest, and all the masks can come off. You mentioned before, can people hide in buildings? And certainly the bigger the building, the greater the hiding spaces. And a lot of people wear masks. They cover over, they cover up. And part of this smaller gathering is to uncover and to get vulnerable so God can deal with the heart. Humanity covers over its heart because maybe it's been hurt, mm-hmm. maybe it lacks understanding, maybe you gave your heart and it got broken. And so, from day one, man's been covering over and covering up, and God's been trying to uncover. And the best way to do that is to get into an environment where trust is formed and you can walk this out with people and be raw.
Perfect. So I'm going to actually stop for a bit of music, and then I'm going to come back to that point on that uncertainty that allows us to become who we that causes the mask to drop. We'll come back to that after this next track. Now, we started the show playing Xanadu because, as I'm sure you're aware, Olivia Newton-John passed away earlier on this week. So we're going to play Morning Town Ride by The Seekers because Judith Durham also passed away. Now, I know that you're a man of the cloth and that you're happily married, but given a choice, what piece of music would you prefer to play? Xanadu or Morning Town Ride? Right, here we go. Here is a bit of Morning Town Ride, and we'll speak to Greg when we come back.
Train whistle blowing makes a sleepy noise. Underneath their blankets go all the girls and boys. Rockin', rollin', ridin' out along the bay. All bound for Morning Town, many miles away. Driver at the engine, rockin', rollin', ridin' out along the bay, all bound for morning town, many miles away. Somewhere there is sunshine, somewhere there is day, somewhere there is morning town, many miles away.
We go, we got all the way to the end of that track. That was Morning Town Ride in memory of Judith Durham. While that track was on, Greg and I obviously continued talking because we normally do, but the Lady Elizabeth dropped me a message and told me that the drummer from Musical Youth also died this week. What is going on in the music industry? Anyway, Greg is still with us, and as I said, I'm going to ask a question about how we can move back to sort of the beginnings of the Christianity concept, small groups, heartfelt conversations and communications and community, when we've grown up with the church as a building. How do we remove that uncertainty? How do we help people work their way through that uncertainty?
I think first you have to model something. You have to become a tangible, physical presence and a representation of what the new looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because the challenge is you can't give people the reality of what they need, but you can model something that they see. And Jesus was the physical manifestation of his Father on the earth. He was the exact representation. So the challenge being you have a physical form in front of you, but you can't enter into that reality without him. And so the challenge being is first you have to have this physical model, if mm-hmm. you like, that people can yep. see, and then explain to them clearly the way in which Jesus lived his life, teaching them his patterns, his kingdom patterns, and then hoping that they will take those things and seek him on them while trusting in the one that's in front of them. Because ultimately, you're being led into an unknown place. And as we talked about before, you know, when Jesus was changed in front of Peter, James, and John, mm-hmm. the first thing that Peter wanted to do was pitch a tent. And that's
yes.
what man does, you know. And Jesus is going, no, this isn't a place where we're residing in and of. It's just a demonstration of something to help you on this journey. So I think, you know, living it is a key. And that's above all things, is living the reality. And then believing and hoping that people will trust as they embark on this journey, which is scary because we love our comforts. We love our safety, our security. We love to know the parameters. And it's the thing that Jesus doesn't give you, because if he totally gave you, you'd never move anywhere.
I think, yeah, and obviously I'm really getting engrossed in this because I don't take notes. I'm taking notes today. You mentioned three words, and I think this is more broad than just the subject that we're talking about today. You need to show people. You need to communicate it, and they need to trust. And I think when we talk about just leadership in general, you're showing up in that model. We can't change other people, but what we can do is we can create an environment for them to change. And we do that by living out that model and communicating why that model, but then our followers, those that we lead, need, should, what's the right word? I don't know. Have the humility to trust. Yeah. I know that it's going to get messy. I think, you know, there's a really key important point here, is that this stuff is messy. This is massive change. This is letting down our guards. This is messy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, and you see that mess all throughout Scripture, because mankind is fallible. You know, he's a work in progress. She's a work in progress. And Jesus wasn't afraid for it to get messy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, his disciples, 1 minute are up and denying him, 1 betrays him, 2 are trying to actually kill the people because they didn't get their way. So there's a lot of mess. You know, yeah. I say fish is smelly. You know, we hear this analogy, becoming fish for men. And when fish need gutting, there's a real stench. I remember being in India and being in a fish market and almost throwing up because the stench was horrendous. And so... This is the challenge, because many people want a polished form of Christianity, which I call churchianity.
Mm-hmm.
But real Christianity is messy. You get into the trenches with people. You get into their lives. You get into their hurts. You get into places that, you know, churchianity doesn't want to go because it wants this nice, polished, perfect little model. But that's not the way of Jesus. You know, he sat with the broken. He sat with the smelly. He sat with humanity because he loved humanity, to see humanity restored.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly that's our heartbeat, you know. It's like the walls have to come down. The walls don't exist, but we put walls up in our heart to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
And so that's why people need to see something that's tangible, and, you know, the need to testify and to teach of a reality and a new way, but at the same time, like we've said, the need to trust and go to a place which is scary.
It brings a whole new meaning to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, Matthew 4, 1, 8, fishers of men. I mean, yeah, I think, yeah, maybe there's something for you to talk about next time. Yeah, a whole new meaning to it. And yeah, Matthew 4, 1, 8 means a lot to me and my family, because that was the motto of one of the units that I spent an awful lot of my time with in the military. I remember going down to the fish market in Wan Chai in Hong Kong when I served out there. Most people arrived off the British Airways flight from the UK and on the Thursday, and after taking them around some bars as their first night frenzy, we'd take them down to Wan Chai fish market on a Friday morning just to see how strong their stomachs were back in those days. So let's go from one end. So we were talking about those small intimate groups where there is that whole piece of leading the way and communicating the way, and having those trust in those small groups, and it getting messy. Right at the other end, we've got these mega churches, and I want to be clear, I'm not decrying mega churches at all. Not at all. If that works for people and it's from a heart position, awesome. I'm just fascinated, Greg, on your take on that structure.
Sure. I mean, you know, the Bible is clear. We're called to gather together.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to continue to gather together. And so we know that's right. It's just, I guess, the operating systems in the heart of man. And what does it look like to gather together from his perspective,
uh-huh,
as opposed to gather together from our perspective? And there's something we have to realize, that we are born out of alignment to God. And God continues, says, your ways are not my ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something in us that will always do it our way. And so once again, it's not in the fact that 1,000 people all gather in a room together in a building called whatever, that's the issue. The issue is why we're there.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is, are we actually in his version of it all? You know, I there's something about being with a number of followers in the presence of God and with brothers and sisters, which is awesome. But at the same time, like we've said, it really is the second position.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the first position. The first position is a discipleship model, which is, you know, as a Jesus pattern. And so, you know, once again, I guess in that model, there's a lot more things that get confronted, challenged. You're invited to with others, iron sharpens iron. But the bigger model, I guess, is like it should just be an expression of the smaller model.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But so often it's not. It's a place that we just tick a box. We do our Christian thing, and then we really live our lives for ourselves throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we come to get. We don't come to give. And ultimately, you know, I think it's about a form than it is substance. But while, again, there's nothing wrong with actually gathering with the saints. Mm-hmm. So we've got to look deeper. We've got to look way, way deeper.
I think you just reminded me of a story I actually tell and lead through life. But I remember the first time that I didn't go to church. Now, yeah. Every Sunday in Scotland, it was, yeah, right, okay, it's 11 o'clock on a Sunday. Yeah, we were late risers in Scotland. Every Sunday, and you go, and, you know, my mum was away, my sister was away, and it was a Sunday, therefore you go to church. You know, it was almost that, it was habitual, go to church. But I got up that morning, and boy, it was just a blue sky day. And I thought, sod it, I'm going climbing.
Yeah.
And off I went climbing, and I felt guilty the whole day. Well, not the whole day. I felt guilty, and you know, I got to the top of this hill, and I was just sitting looking out across the Scottish Highlands, and I had that realization that it's not about the building, Stu. It's not about the building. But that doesn't mean, I think, you know, what you're saying is that doesn't mean that a building isn't a part of it. It's just where that building is a part of it.
Yeah, correct. And we really have to understand through Revelation what Jesus meant when he said, I build my church. And he was not talking about buildings. The reality is you can go to services and not be changed or built.
Mm-hmm.
You can go through forms of godliness and deny true godliness and not be built. So going to a building and singing songs and hearing messages doesn't necessarily do anything from a building perspective, a transformed perspective. Only the Holy Spirit builds the church, and he builds it the way he builds it. So, yeah. Turning up on Sunday and even being part of a small group doesn't necessarily mean you're being built.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to be built, but it doesn't mean you are being built. And I think we really seriously today especially have to look at our lives and ourselves and go, am I just going through forms of godliness, traditions, religious ceremony, rituals? Or am I actually being changed? Can I track my spiritual growth because I am actually in the process of what Jesus meant? And so that asks big questions. And unfortunately, I've met a lot of people that don't want to ask those questions. They just want to maintain what they've got because it's all they've ever known. Mm-hmm. And that's safe again.
So really, a heart position. Yeah, if you're listening to this, thinking, "Well, I don't know. Am I? What am I?" Yet being in, am I in the process? Is a great question to reflect on.
Yeah, and you can know because Jesus gives you absolutes. So the scripture's very clear as to whether you're in his process. You will have the corresponding life of his process because he's not a liar, and what he says is. So he actually gives you and shows you through his scriptures, and you can have this tangible life of being in his process. So there's no ifs or buts. There's no gray areas. He builds his church, and it says the church he builds overcome the world, its own flesh, and a demonic presence. So you know if you're actually in his building process because you're overcoming those three elements on a consistent basis, which means you're able to live like he lived, but not on the basis of your strength or ability, but on the basis of his strength and ability to do what he said he can do. So you can track your own spiritual growth like you can track natural growth, natural fitness. You and I know that, you know, I train at the gym, and I know and I can track whether I'm growing. I can track whether I'm getting fitter or not. And that requires to be in the right process. And that is just a foreshadow of the spiritual. Many people go, oh, you can't know. You can't know. You can know. And the Bible is very clear. It says, if you're in Christ, growing in Christ, then your life is proven by having much fruit. So it's fruit of the Spirit. You'll have much love, much joy, much peace, and that will manifest out of you. People will be able to come and pick your fruit.
Well, that's a I feel that there's a whole new conversation to be had in there, but I think that's an absolutely brilliant place to bring this one into land. And I think, I don't know whether you remember the track that you chose, Spirit Lead Me. Go on, tell me why.
Because that's the process. That's the way of heaven. It's like the Holy Spirit, the third member of the triune God, has been sent by Jesus to lead me into the fullness of life, the fullness of Christ. Christ is life. Life is Christ. And so I can't get there on my own. And so it's the Spirit that leads me into this eternal life now, not in eternity, now, and I'll take it with me into eternity.
Brilliant. Greg, thank you so much for your time today. And here is the track, Spirit Lead Me.
Thank you.
Let your fire fall. water from the rock to satisfy my thirst, to love me at my worst. And even when I don't remember, you remind me of my word. I don't trust my ways, I'm trading in my faults. I lay down everything,
we go. That was Spirit Lead Me, the choice of my guest this morning, Greg Simnor from The Rock Church. Fascinating conversation about what we call home, whether it is that big place where we can disappear or maybe grow with a group of people, or whether that's more that small intimate space, which lines up perfectly, go figure, with the title of today's Resilient Show, Where is Home? So did that give you a chance to think about it? Where is home? I think I touched on it before we spoke to Greg. Home is within all of us. When we realise that we are enough, when we realise that we are perfect, then we realise that we can exist within ourselves. Now, that's not to say that we don't choose community. That's not to say that we don't choose a part of the world to live in or have a community of friends around about us. But when we talk about the rediscovering resilience framework of having certainty in ourselves, knowing where we belong, and our ability to return our genius to the world, the first point is having certainty. Certainty in who we are. It's what I've called living from the centre, living from our heart position, which sort of aligns nicely with what Greg was saying. Whether or not you are a follower of Jesus Christ or not, leading from the heart with love and kindness and being useful, it gives us certainty in who we truly are. That first point of certainty is so, so important. So take some time. I did a podcast earlier on this morning. I recorded a podcast about observing our own actions, our own behaviours, looking at ourselves rather than one another. So take some time to actually reflect on you. Where are you comfortable? Where are you uncomfortable? Because where you're uncomfortable is probably where the work needs to start. Maybe start by looking in the mirror. That often makes me uncomfortable. But when we do that hard work, look, I'm not going to dress this up. This is tough stuff. When we actually engage in this work of finding certainty in who we are, finding certainty within ourselves, then the only way really is up.
It's about as bad as it could be. Seems everybody bugging me. Like nothing wants to go my way. Yeah, it just ain't been my day. Nothing's coming easily. Even my skin is acting weird. I wish that I could grow a beard. Then I could cover up my spots. Not blinking at the dots. I just wanna disappear. Up, up, up. Can only go up from here. Up, up, up. Where the clouds gonna clear. Up, up. There's no way but up from here. Even something as simple as it could be. Seems everybody's bugging me. Like nothing wants to go my way. It just ain't been my day. Nothing's coming easily. Oh, 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 oh. And up, up, up. Can only go up from here. Up, up, up. Where the clouds gonna clear. Up, up. There's no way but up.
Well, you can't not leave that one to play right to the end, can you? That was Shania Twain and Up. I remember years and years ago leaving the European Alps after a day of skiing to drive back to northern Germany. And that was the first track that came on in the car that I was driving home in, Up by Shania Twain. I was driving back, as I said, home. It was a place where I was going, but it was also the people I was going back to. And one of the great things about knowing where home is, whether it's a place, a person, or within yourself, is that means that we can travel. It means that we can get out into the world and explore, knowing there is somewhere safe within us that we can return to, or that place that we call home. And now that, from a New Zealand perspective, now that the world is at last opening up again and we can get out there, yeah, you know, we've got friends who have started travelling again. We've started travelling again. As I said, the Lady Elizabeth is off to the UK next week. I'm off to the United States and America in a few months' time. We're beginning to travel. Very excited. I'm off to California. And that's the next track we're going to play. You'll never guess who sings California, because we haven't played him yet today. It's Tim McGraw. It's the Tim McGraw moment in the Resilient Show this week. So excited, because I wrote on a post last week that we'd played two tracks from Tim McGraw because we'd missed it the previous week. We started and ended the show with Mr. McGraw last week. I got a message from him. How bonkers is that? I got a message from the Tim McGraw saying thank you. I also suggested he might like to come on the radio show. So we are a step forward to interviewing Mr. Tim McGraw on the show. But for now, let us enjoy his track, California.
It's a 3-day drive if she drives. drives all night, says she's leaving at the crack of dawn. Well, she might still be lying here with me, but in her heart she's already gone. Already packed up, the Altima's gassed up, she done put the map up there on the dash. And I'm all tore up, just trying to man up, damning these tears up, but can't hold them back. Cause she's in love.
California by Mr. Tim McGraw. How good was that? Nothing like a little bit of Tim McGraw, is there? And we squeezed that one in because, as ever, our conversation went over. What a great conversation with Greg Simner from The Rock. Well, that's really it for the show today. That was The Resilient Show on this glorious Friday. The title of today's show was Where is Home? And it was dedicated to everyone who is questioning where they belong. It's a great thing to ask those questions, guys, because when we ask those questions, guess what? We actually get some answers. So keep going, keep looking, keep diving into it. Let's move away from the belief that our home is bricks and mortar. Let's realise that our home can be found in the communities around about us. Home can also be the family members, wherever they are in the world. They are still part of what we can call home. But if you're willing to go and do the really, really deep work, you will find that in the end, home lives within every single one of us. Hard yards to get there, but that is a place where we can all exist. We can all find joy, love within that place. And therefore we can go out and create a better home for everyone across this pale blue dot that is planet Earth that is home to humanity. If we chose to do the deep work, that's what all of us might one day call home. I'm dedicating this one to the other human half of what I call home.
She may be the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret, maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song the summer sings, maybe the chill the autumn brings, maybe 100 different things within the measure of a day. She may be the beauty or the beast, maybe the famine or the feast, may turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dreams, a smile reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside her shell. Allowed to see them when they cry. She may be the love that cannot hope to last, may comes indeed from shadows of the past that I remember till the day I die. She may be the reason I survive, the why and wherefore I'm alive, the what I'll care in ready years. Me, I'll take her laughter and her tears and make them all my souvenirs. For where she goes, I've got to be. The meaning of my life is she.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, the Top of the South's community access media station, with support from New Zealand On Air. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz.